Church, would you pray with me this morning? Oh God, we worship you, we give you praise and honor because God, you are the creator of all things. God, you are the one who has shown and poured out your love to us broken people. And Lord, we just ask that you be continuing to give us this heart of worship this morning, knowing that you are alone are worthy of our whole self, worthy of our whole being, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us here in protecting us physically, emotionally, spiritually, especially as we enter into colder weather. Lord, we pray just for good health in the midst of potential for flu and other things. Oh God, we pray for safety. We pray, Lord, in this missions month, we continue to ask that you would be with our brothers and sisters on the field, whether local or far. Give them protection as well from any persecution. Protect them from discouragement. Lord, we ask that you would be their sustenance. We ask that you would be their joy as they labor for your kingdom. And at the same time, Lord, would you just put on our hearts as well in thinking about how we can join you in your work, oh Lord. Challenge us in this way, oh God. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would shake each one of us. Lord, I pray that you would be with your servant this morning, for he is weak. But we ask that you and your truth and your Holy Spirit would just move in this place, in each one of our hearts, oh Lord. Transform us into the likeness of Christ. Transform us that we would be continuously putting to death the old self and putting more and more on the new self as you have given us, oh God. We surrender this day. We surrender ourselves into your hands, oh Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you remain standing as we read today's scripture? Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 5. We're going to look at 17 and then 19 and 20. John chapter 5. And it reads, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.'" Verse 19, "And Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater work than these will he show him, so that you may marvel." This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm glad you're able to join us for our worship service here at RCCC. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the interns here, and I'm excited to share with you the word this morning, seeing how God is going to work on each one of us. So welcome again. If you're tuning in online, welcome as well. If you've been joining us in this month of October, you know that it's Missions Month. Earlier this month, a few weeks ago, we had our missions conference with Dr. Paul Borthwick. And this morning, being the last Sunday in October, I have the privilege of basically closing out Missions Month for us. And I hope that today's sermon can encourage and challenge each one of us to see how God wants to move in our day-to-day lives. But before we dive in, I actually want to turn your attention to the screen. Similar to the last time I preached last month, I actually want to provide another opportunity for you to ask questions or comment on anything that you hear today. Maybe something I said needs clarification. Maybe you have an actual question, or maybe just want to say hi or give a comment on the sermon. So the AV team has been very gracious to provide this QR code that will be up on the screen, hopefully the entire sermon, and it'll bring you to a Google form where you can put your name, your information, and any comment or question that you have. And I promise you that I will get back to you by Tuesday, latest. Unfortunately, we probably can't do a live Q&A this Sunday morning, but I will do my best to get back to you as soon as I can. All right, so feel free to use that QR code anytime throughout today's sermon. And I will assume if you're on your phone, you're using the QR code and not scrolling on Instagram. So there's your license to use your phone. Okay, with that, let's start. So I want to begin today by introducing you to someone. Many of you know that Samantha is pregnant. And so I want to show you my cat. This is Alfie, or we nicknamed him Fredo because we determined that Alfie is short for Alfredo. So this is Alfie. He's a cute cat. He likes boys more than girls, so benefit for me at home. This cat really likes to eat. He will do anything for treats or food. He's been very helpful for us. We got him back in January. He's been very helpful for us in dealing with mental health things. He's been very helpful with that. He's a very, very cute cat, Alfie. And here's another picture of him just for reference. Yes, this is also Alfie. All right. Now, I'm going to make a very controversial statement here, all right, but bear with me. But I think this is a reality about all of us, and that is that everyone is a cat person. Everyone is a cat person. Now, I may have just insulted you, okay? That like, no, cats are evil. How can you say that? I am a dog person through and through. How can you say that? See, Alfie, okay, like most cats, he likes his territory, right? And in our case, his territory is our home. He's allowed to roam a majority of our home, of our house, but the one place that he's deathly afraid of is outside. Whenever we open the door, whenever I try to bring him outside somewhere, maybe the vet or something, he just freaks out like crazy. He is not having it. He does not want to go outside. That when outside is in the picture, this cat who loves treats and food, he will even not eat treats. That's how much he hates the outside. But I have this dream of buying one of those cat backpacks. You know what I'm talking about? With a dome on top, so they stick your cat inside and then they can see outside, and it's like their head is sticking out of this dome. I want to put him in this cat backpack so I can go on a walk with him. Bring him outside, bring him to even my parents' house, to my brother's house, just to meet other cats. I have this dream of bringing him and putting him in this backpack. But instead, Alfie, he is more than satisfied just being inside, staring outside the window and just watching squirrels, watching birds, watching other dogs out there. And he can't chase them, even though he clearly wants to. But he's more than satisfied. He just wants to be inside. But the thing is, my dream of putting him in his backpack, bringing him outside, is I want him to experience what it's like out there, to socialize with other cats, to see that, you know, outside can be scary. But as his owner, I'm going to make sure that he's safe. I'm going to make sure that he's safe. And I'm going outside. I want him to come with me too. Can't he just come along? You and I are just like Alfie in this sense. We are cat people. We are cat people because we also desire to stay safe. We desire to stay inside. That even though there's a whole world out there that is beautiful and potentially beneficial for us, we don't want to go there. Inside is safe. Inside is familiar. Inside is safe and familiar. And there's this similar dynamic here when we think about our relationship with God that I want us to look at this morning. And as we examine this dynamic through Jesus in this passage, it can hopefully encourage us to follow God in maybe a less Alfie-like way. So let's look at our passage. Right away, what do we see? We see Jesus say, "My Father is working until now, and I am working. Now, for a Jewish leader, if you're hearing this, this was super offensive, right? Pretty on par for what Jesus does. Jesus does something, and Jewish leaders get offended. And we're going to focus on these words that Jesus is saying. My Father is working until now, and I am working. See, the Jewish people did see them as the children of God. So God being the Father is not too crazy. But nobody is claiming that they are the Son of God, where God is specifically my own Father. Naturally, at least this great offense that Jesus, by saying this, is equating himself with God. Therefore, the Jewish leaders get super offended at this. But when Jesus says this statement, what are we learning about God? My Father is working until now, and I am working. It shows us that God, our God, is a working God. But not just a working God, but a God who has been working. Our God has been working. Our God is not just like hanging out. He's not just hanging out. He's actively working. And this is a very, very important characteristic about God that we need to recognize. There's an analogy that I've heard about God, that this analogy of a watchmaker. A watchmaker. Now, admittedly, I am not a watch expert, okay? I really don't like wearing watches. But the thing I do know is that watches, they're very, very intricate on the inside. At least like the fancier ones. They're very intricate on the inside. So a watchmaker goes through all the expertise and the details to make the watch. And once they're done, wind it up, and then they let it run. They just let it run. Some have equated God to this watchmaker, where God intricately made creation, all the details and every little thing, and then he wound it up and now he just let it go. His hand is no longer on it. This is not the God that we read in the Bible. In Scripture, it's very clear that God is very much involved in this world, in his own creation, that even in his power, high above all of us, he is very much involved and invested in the happenings of this world. He cares about what's going on. How do we know this? We can just look at the Old Testament. We were able to see in the Old Testament God working throughout Israel's history. He hears their cry and brings deliverance. He communicates through Israel through a variety of leaders and prophets. He influences different kingdoms outside of Israel. And ultimately, we see God involved in creation through the incarnation of Jesus. God coming down as a man, putting on dirty flesh like us, and walking amongst us, walking among you and me. This is unheard of for gods in general. That this mighty God has all the reason to ignore creation, to ignore you and me, especially if we understand that sin is offensive to him. Yet, God still chooses to continue working in the midst of his creation. Our God is a working God. Now, a natural question afterwards. If God is a working God, what kind of work is he doing? What kind of work is he doing? And I just want to highlight two parts of God's work. So firstly, God is working in his people. Okay, God is working in his people. Paul lays it out pretty explicitly in Colossians, in Philippians, saying that, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is working in his people. In Israel, we see that he slowly helped Israel learn about who he is. He slowly revealed to Israel more and more about his character, slowly grew their knowledge of himself. He worked in them and through them to help them to bring about his will and justice in a promised land. And even this work continues on in Jesus' time. where Christians were given the Holy Spirit to receive power to do amazing things for the kingdom. God is working in the midst of his people. God is working in his people. God is also working, secondly, in this world. We see in the Psalms, multiple Psalms, but we can highlight Psalm 140, that God cares about the afflicted and cares about justice for the needy. Scripture also tells us that God is reconciling everything to himself in Colossians chapter 1. That God's work isn't just restricted to you and me as Christians, but God values all of creation and seeks to reconcile and bring wholeness to all creation. That as sin has broken everything in this world, not only broken our relationship with God, but literally has broken creation, God is looking to redeem it and reconcile it back to himself. He is executing this plan on a micro and macro level to bring healing to this world, That like on a micro level, we can say that, oh, God is addressing the needy, the poor, and the hungry on a micro level. God is interested in that. He is working through that. On a macro level, we can see that the healing and reconciliation on a macro level is brought through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. God is working in his people, and God is working in this world. Our God is a working God. Okay, that could be true, but so what? What does that matter? Why is this so important? Why does this matter to 2022 Christians? Why does it matter to us? What else do we see in this passage? Let me read it to you again. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing." It's interesting here because Jesus is admitting that he is simply following what the Father is doing. And I think sometimes we assume Jesus has this like godly autonomy where he can determine all his decisions here on earth. But we see here that we get a hint at his relationship with God. We get a hint of how Jesus' relationship with God works, that Jesus is following in the footsteps of the already working God. Jesus is following in the footsteps of the already working God. The Father shows the Son what he's doing, and the Son follows. Now, obviously, between Jesus and God, there's this Trinity dynamic and their closeness. But for you and me as Christians, Jesus' relationship with the Father gives us some insight about our relationship with God. Why is that? It's because Jesus, through his death and resurrection, part of what he did through death and resurrection was allow you and me to become part of the family of God. The reconciliation brought us back in. So by extension, that means that some of these things that God says about Jesus apply to us as well. That the relational dynamic between God and Jesus also applies to you and me, that we now have access to this closeness with God as a father and children. So that means that as God is showing Jesus and showing him all his work, God is showing us as well. And that means that our response should be similar to Jesus, that as God shows us his work, we go and follow and do likewise. We go and follow and do likewise. And this is the call of today's sermon. God is inviting us to join him in what he is doing. God is inviting us to join him in what he is doing, in the work that he's doing. And by work, again, I mean work in both senses of the word that we brought up today. God is inviting us to join him as he's working in us, but also join him in the work he's doing in this world. Intellectually, we know that God works in us as his people. This is an idea that we repeat in church quite a bit. God is working in you. God wants you to grow. He wants you to mature in faith. He wants us to put on more and more the character of Christ. And as Christians, we're meant to put to death more and more sin in our lives and align ourselves more and more with him. These are things that we hear in church all the time. Surrender more and more of your life to what God wants. In all these things, God is working in us. But what happens sometimes on our end of this growth? What's sometimes the day-to-day experience of this? And I think for many of us, the experience of growth is not super smooth. That we don't see results. We get discouraged. We get frustrated. We begin to wonder if spiritual growth is even happening. And we end up in a place where we just become complacent in where we are spiritually. We cozy up in a spot where we feel okay. We feel satisfied with where we are spiritually. No need to stretch myself too much. No need to sacrifice anything that I don't want to. Nothing spiritual related is going to interrupt my life. Nothing spiritual related is going to threaten my comfort and safety. You know, growing takes effort. I much rather just cruise on by. Show up on Sunday, show up to fellowship, be a good person, and just call it a day. Growing sometimes just doesn't feel worth it. It just doesn't feel worth it. So we just settle into this safety and comfort with our spiritual lives. We much rather just stay inside where it's familiar, stay inside where it's safe, stay inside where we're in control. Because being asked to step outside is just too scary and too uncomfortable. Joining God in what he's doing in us. What about joining God in his work in the world? You know, God wants us to join him in bringing justice and mercy to the broken. God wants us to join him in his work of reconciliation. He wants to join him in proclaiming ultimate reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ, that through Jesus, that is the only way we find salvation, the salvation that we as Christians experience. Again, these themes, joining God's mission, it's what we hear all the time in church. And in our church, we especially hear this in October. In our missions month, we hear it over and over again. And then for some of us, year after year, we hear it again. Join mission trips, support our missionaries, develop a heart for the lost, pray for the country or person who made your shirt. The world has come to our neighborhood, and missions is right across the street. These are things that we hear. And these are all good things. These are all good things. But again, what happens sometimes after we hear this for a while? What happens? Sometimes it just becomes noise to us. We become numb to these messages. the call to go on mission trips becomes something for other people to do, for other people in the church. That missions is not directly related to my life. There's so many other things that I need to worry about. There's so much on my plate. There's no room for me to think about what God is doing in this world. I know that I should be taking part. I know that I should be. But to be honest, sometimes I just don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm not compelled to move. I'm not compelled to join. It takes too much effort, and it's just a little bit too far out of my comfort zone. It's a little bit too far out of my comfort zone. It's much safer to stay inside. It's much safer to be in familiar territory. Things are predictable. Things are within my control. Outside, it's just too scary. Outside is just too uncomfortable. You see how we're like Alfie in this way. You see how we're like Alfie in this way, that as much as I would like Alfie, my cat, to come outside, see nature, see people, meet other cats, go to my parents' house, right? He just wants to stay inside where it's safe and where he can be in control. And if Alfie could, if he were sentient and could actually understand me, right? I try to explain that. I'm not trying to put you in danger, cat. I'm not trying to put you in danger. I actually care for you, and you can trust me when I bring you outside. That there are things outside the walls of our home that are actually good for you, Alfie. They're actually good for you. And at least in my months of my cat ownership, right, it's been very, very humbling. And Samantha and I quickly learned that our interaction with our cat is very much similar to how we treat God sometimes. Because there's so many times where, you know, Alfie will only interact with us if we give him a treat, right? It's very conditional. He'll only come to us and only show affection towards us when he wants something. Otherwise, he's gonna live how he wants to live, to be safe, to be in a controlled environment and not stretch himself too much. Is that not how we treat God sometimes? I will go to God when I feel like I need something. Otherwise, he's just a distant owner. Things for us to reflect on. Things for us to reflect on how we approach our spiritual lives, how we treat God sometimes. Because this is God's invitation to you and to me. God's invitation is to join him in venturing to a place where he is working, both in us and in this world. That even though stepping out can be scary and even burdensome, it can definitely be burdensome for us to take part in our growth, to take part in joining missions efforts. God is inviting you and me to trust him, to trust him. God is not seeking to put us in danger by bringing us to these places. He's not putting us in danger by wanting us to join him as he works in us and works in this world. He is the Father who cares for us. He is the Father who cares for us, that he will walk with us every step of the way. And do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when we join him? Do you know what happens when we step outside with God, when we join him in his work in us, work in this world? Do you know what happens when we join him when Alfie comes outside? Do you know what happens? We begin to discover something that is better than anything else in this world. Because at the heart of God's invitation for you and for me to join him It is not the duty. It is not the action, nor is it the obedience or even the journey with him. At the heart of God's invitation, it is God himself. God's invitation for you and me to join him is so that you and I can know who he is. It is ultimately for us to know and draw near and walk with our God, that he wants us to be with him. He wants to be with you. And surely, if God expresses this desire to be with us, surely he doesn't prefer to just dragging us along so that we're not wanting to go with him. I'm just imagining me just dragging Alfie outside and how terrible that would be on my end. That he's just like, you know, like this, right? Getting dragged along. Surely God doesn't want to do that with us. God wants us to want to come with him because we want to be with him. He wants us because he loves us. He wants us to join him because he loves us. He's not looking for us to simply say, yes, sir, and just dutifully go along. Our gentle, loving God is inviting us to join him, to join a person, to join a person. Because this is who you and I were meant to be. People made by God, people chosen by God, people invited by God, people who are loved by God. And he goes so far in loving us to reconcile us, to heal our relationship through him, with him, through Jesus. If God didn't want us to join him, he would have no reason to send Jesus. If God didn't want us to join him, he wouldn't have no reason to extend this invitation, to extend this love to you and me. Yes, it's true, all right? It is true. We should be mindful in how we, in concrete ways, join God and what he's doing in our lives, what he's doing in the world. Yes, we should be mindful of that. But I want to encourage us this morning that at the heart of this invitation, at the heart of this invitation is God inviting us to join him as a person. God is a person. And he wants to be with us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be with him. Too often in our walks, we get focused and maybe too focused on these actions that we're doing. That we measure these things through our own Bible reading on like, am I going on missions? That somehow it's a measurement of our closeness with God. But we know that the measure that we're supposed to have is not these things, it's not these actions, it's not simply obedience, but God wants your heart. God wants you. He wants you to join him, him being a person. And perhaps even in this missions month, right, as we finish off missions month, when we consider joining God and what he's doing in us and in this world, that maybe this is what we need to think about a little bit more. That perhaps it's not simply about, okay, how much am I supposed to give to missionaries, right? I think those are important questions, but the heart behind that is, am I joining God himself? Am I joining God himself? Do I desire to be with God himself? Because if I go on missions, but I don't desire God, then I just got on a plane for who? Probably for myself. If I give my salary to missionaries across the world, but I don't desire God himself, what am I actually doing? A charity? God ultimately desires you and me. He desires us to draw near to him as a person. It can feel burdensome at times when we talk about things like missions, because there is a dutiful component in how we are to respond. And I think that part of that is true, that we should be going out. We should be, right? But the should doesn't supersede. It's not more important than our own relationship with God. Because just doing the acts, just obeying for the sake of obeying, that's not what God wants from us. Our God's love for you and me goes beyond just the doing, goes beyond just going outside, right? God desires for us to join him for him. The heart of it all is joining a person. And perhaps if we realize this, it would actually encourage us to grow and get involved in kingdom work. That perhaps realizing this would give us more confidence and more joy in joining God in what he's doing in our lives, joining God what he's doing in the world. So maybe the question is not necessarily would you join God in his work, but would you join God today? Join God today. That his heart is to draw near to you. His heart is to draw near to you in love. And hopefully we can respond with the desire to know him as well. This is God's desire for you and me this morning. Would you join him today? Would you pray with me? I want to provide some time for us to reflect. Joining God, joining in what he's doing. That for some of us, maybe we need to reevaluate whether we're looking to join God because he's God, whether we want to draw near to him or not. Maybe that's a question we need to ask ourselves this morning. That do we actually seek to draw near to the person of God? Regardless of the how, draw near to the person of God. Maybe the question we need to ask is the how question. You know, how is God inviting me to join him in what he's doing in my life? How is God inviting me to join him in what he's doing in the world? And maybe God is putting on your heart some very practical ways to join him in how you're growing, to join him in what he's doing in the world, to get involved in his kingdom work somehow, locally or internationally. And maybe God is knocking on your heart in this way. Holy Spirit, would you just show us our own hearts. Oh, how we are blind to ourselves so often. That for some of us, we just do and do and do, and sometimes have forgotten that you're this God who wants to ultimately be with us, and you want us to be with you, to join you because of who you are. The extent of this Father's love for each one of us, Lord, help us to want to join you, oh God. And I pray that you would just open our eyes to see where we fall short in this way. Because no amount of obedience, no amount of doing, no amount of even going on missions can replace this dynamic and loving relationship with you, our God, our Father. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see. And I pray that we would simply ask, God, would you help me to desire you? Help me to want to be with you. Help me to want to commune with you. Help me to want to know you more intimately. Help me to love you more, oh God. But at the same time, Lord, I pray that you would help us to also be bold, to know what areas in our lives that you want us to step forward in faith, that you're inviting us to grow, inviting us to join what you're doing around the world. Lord, I pray that if you're showing us right now maybe a new way of joining you, something we haven't done before, Lord, I pray you help us to be brave. Give us courage to join you in this way. To have courage out of a trust that you will take care of us, that you're not out to get us, but you want us to know you through these things. So whether it be joining you and growing and communing with you daily, reading and praying to you on a daily basis, or going on missions, or talking to our neighbor and seeing how you are going to work through that, Lord, would you move us in this way? And I pray, God, that whatever you show us this morning, I pray that it would not fall out of our ears come Monday morning or even Sunday afternoon. But Lord, would your Holy Spirit protect these convictions as we go forth? For you are a God that desires to partner with us, that you want us to join you, oh Lord. Help us, oh God, this morning. Help us, oh God, to desire you, to want to love you more and more each and every day. We thank you, Lord, and it is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.